Yes, it is. Lord of God, we just praise you, Lord. You're an awesome God. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the victory for the people here, Lord. And we praise you. We glorify you for all that you're doing in us. We thank you, Father, for bringing us in here. We thank you, Father, for getting us up in the mornings. We thank you, Father, for being our God. We thank you, Lord, for the meals that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for all the provisions you've made for us. And we just glorify you, Lord. We don't do this enough. And I praise you, Father, for all that you've given us. We thank you, Father, that our eyes are open and we can see. We thank you, Father, that our ears are open and we can hear. We thank you, Father, that we are healthy and walking in divine health. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And we thank you, Father, that we have your word to learn how to walk as you did and to manifest that Jesus in us. And we thank you, Father, for doing that in us. And we praise you for your Holy Spirit that resides in us and teaches us the things that we need to be taught. And we thank you, Father, for the leading that he gives us also in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us tonight into the things that you'd have us to look at and read and talk about. In the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the heavens are open to us too, as well. And we praise you, Father, that when we pray tonight, we know they're answered. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody needs to get fired up. I'm telling you, God's here. Glory to God, he's here. He is here. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lana.
I have a praise report. A couple of weeks back, when we moved to Tennessee, as y'all might know, we had rented the smallest little U-Haul trailer to haul our handful of belongings. So I had a pretty good idea of what we were hauling to Tennessee. And it's been a year since we moved here. And we were looking for one of Theo's water shoes so he could go kayaking a couple of weeks back. And I told him, I said, ever since we moved to Tennessee, I've only known of one shoe. I don't know where the other one is. And, since we moved here, we've arranged all of our stuff in the garage on the shelves. And I had a pretty good idea of what was where and whatnot. And so Theo was like, I don't know. I feel like it's somewhere out there. And I was like, well, I've been on the lookout. I've only seen one shoe. You know, I was pretty confident about that. And I've been, you know, kind of like, Lord, help me find it. Lord, help me find it. So anyways, we walk into that garage and we both agree in prayer and send forth an angel to go find it and put it in a place where we'll find it. And we just agreed and kept kind of browsing through the garage and feels like, wait a second. And he reaches his arm to the back of the shelf and pulls the second shoe. Off the back of the shelf.
Praise God.
It's a miracle for me. I've been waiting a whole year to find that thing and I've given up hope. And we find it within minutes, just in time for Theo to be able to go kayaking. That was miraculous for me. So praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I did that similar to that, Lana. The other day I lost my earbud. One of my earbuds. I had it in my shirt pocket. I must have been over somewhere. I think I lost that thing. And I looked around for a little bit in this room here, and I looked in my shirt pockets and did all that stuff. And then I finally, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command those angels to put that earbud where I can find it. So I had something I had to put in the truck, and I was going to go out there and look in the truck anyway. And I go out there, and I opened the door. It was locked, and I opened the door, and I looked down. There's my earbud down in the grass. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, David and Lena. All right, Lena's phone is lost. No, it's not. It's not lost anymore. In the name of Jesus, we command those angels to bring that phone and put it out there where they can see it. And I don't care where it is right now, but you put it out there where they can see it and get it. In Jesus' name. Everybody agree? Thank you, Jesus. It's there. All right, you don't have to hunt for it. Just go get it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because it's going to be right close. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
I got a praise report.
Let's hear it, girl.
Okay. Well, a couple weeks, a couple months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, I got something, you know, in the mail about some class action lawsuit against Safeway where, they were being, sued because they do this buy one, get one free business all the time. But what they do is they just jack the prices up so that it compensates for the free one. And so anyway, I looked at it and I just kind of tossed it aside because I think once or twice we were in some similar situation, some kind of class action lawsuit, and you get a check for like $1.47. So anyway, you know, I didn't do anything. I just threw it away. Well, today, in the mail, got something, and at the top it said, you know, lawsuit settlement for buy one, get one free Safeway. Folks, there was a check for $200 in there. We were just flabbergasted.
Oh my gracious.
You know, we just couldn't believe it. It was like, talk about something just so unexpected. And there it was. So, you know, Father, it's your money. It's your money, Father. And, but we do thank you and praise you that,
thank you, Jesus.
Father, you just do all things well. And this was, it was an encouraging blessing. It really, really was. And the thing is, we don't even shop at Safeway anymore. We kind of got away from shopping there. And, but it was just for like a 2 year period, 2015 to 2016. That this covered, and I don't know how in the world we got a check for $200, but we did. So praise God.
God did it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, Lord, I'm open to that. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I see little Jesse, or a picture of him. Lord, we bless little Jesse with good health, divine health from this point on in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There he is. Hey, Marissa. Oh, I'm looking at that boy.
Hi, what about there? Ready?
We are blessed, girl. Hang on just a minute. I'm going to put you up there where we can see that baby. Woo, glory to God. Look at that.
He's losing right now. He's so comfortable.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. That's a long baby, yeah. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone keeps saying how long he is, and he's getting big.
Amen.
We love him much. He's such a blessing.
He is awesome. Thank you
for
letting us see.
Praying.
Amen. Let me see if I can get you back. There you go. Glory to God. Let me repeat you. All right. Anybody else? Well, let me see if I can get it. Oh, there it goes. Okay. Good deal. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony or a prayer report? Praise report, I mean. Yeah, Benita. You ain't on the road yet, girl?
No, that's actually my prayer request is about something about that. My car didn't have any heat all summer, which was fine because it was warm out. So Frank decided to get to work on it before I came down there so that it would be done. And boy, oh boy, what a job. Oh my gosh. There's this one little piece way, way in the car that broke. And so this flap wouldn't go from air conditioning to heat. And so to get to that part, he had to take all the seats out. The two front seats, the center console, the whole dash, the steering wheel had to come out. He had to take all the air condition. I mean, it was just, you just can't even believe what my car looks like. It's like gutted. It's so crazy. And he finally got to the part that he needed to get to. And it's just this little corner of this little flap that broke and it goes into an actuator. And He had to get to that to put a new part in, and now he's got to put it all back together. So him and Nick have been out there every day just unscrewing everything. And so tomorrow they're spending the whole day putting it all back together. Just praise the Lord all morning. I was like, thank you, Lord. He's going to get it done. And, you know, he figured it out. He's got to it finally. And so it'll all get done. We'll be on the road on Thursday morning. I'm just believing it. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Lord, we thank you that there's not going to be any boats left over either. Everything's going to be put in the right place. Yeah. Every boat's going to be put in there, and she's going to have a great time coming down. Her and Nick. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Debbie. You got to unmute. Just like you do in the morning time.
I know. I pressed it, but I just missed it. Okay. Hi, everybody. Yeah, I have a testimony. Do y'all remember, a lot of you do, the 4 years of court that Victory went through for 4 years? Yeah. And then finally one thing was dismissed, another one, and finally the major ones was finally all dismissed. And then the appellate court came in and overruled the judge's decision after several months, and she started going back again. But that just started, actually she was done with it for a while until that had to happen. So, she had to be going to court again. And, so she just had a bench trial. I'll just shorten it all. She just had a bench trial, and the police who arrested her was there, and the woman who shared this terrible thing about her, way back in 2018, it started in 2018. They were all present. And so, anyway, long story short, the judge just, ruled her not guilty on all. They were trying to get on 5 felony charges. It was just crazy. It's crazy. It was crazy. It was lies and everything, with her children. And, the judge had enough. He just told the woman to be quiet. He threw his pencil down. She said he was all red faced and just said, I have had enough. And everything that you are saying does not even coincide to anything in that video that you took. And she took a video and just made this big thing out of it. And the officer way back then had something against her anyway, because it's one that she had a run in with before. So all this trouble, but it's now finally done again.
And praise God.
Yeah, it's just finally done. It's totally done. So now we want prayer that they will take that off her record, because maybe they will. I don't know if she's going to see. Because it's enabled her to, it's caused her not be able to get jobs, not even the simplest jobs like DoorDash or things like that, because you can't be around children. This woman had seen her that many years ago in 2018. She was moving. She's by herself alone. She had Joanna, and she was pregnant with Cat May, or it was carrying Cat May. And it was just a real, real, real terrible, difficult time for her. And she was trying to move by herself. She had no help. And, she was carrying the baby out, and she was actually about a year or so old, and it's almost falling out of her arms is what it was. And she was screaming and crying. And this woman just made all these things and allegations up that were just so not true. And so that's how that started. So, but, so because of that, that's the kind of record she gave her. And so I just pray, Lord, that you're going to, take all that away, Lord. You're going to call favor to whoever she talks to, Lord, and that they will favor her and want to push it through to whoever they have to deal with, Lord, to get that off her record. So she is free to get a job, Lord. So I just thank you that you're going to do that. You've been so faithful. Thank you for the miracle you did again, God, and just blessing her again, Lord, and showing your faithfulness to her, Lord, and freeing her up, Lord, again, once again, Lord. We just thank you, Father. Thank you so much. All glory to you, Lord, and all glory to you for taking this off of her record, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for expunging that record out of the court system in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It is done. I believe it. Amen. Yep. All right, Jenny.
I'd like to add on to that prayer too. Father, I just thank you, Father, that you gave Jesus and his blood makes us clean. We just apply the blood to her, that record, that court record, Lord, because you sit on the highest court, and we just pray the blood of Jesus over it, makes it clean, is gone. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for giving Victory peace in her heart. and give her boldness of faith, Lord, that you've got a job for her too. Through all of this, people she's encountered, something really wonderful is going to open up for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's gone from all records, and if anybody does a background search on them, they will not find anything. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got a good testimony? Oh, by the way, y'all remember when we prayed for Katie's wisdom teeth to come in straight? Y'all remember that? Remember Katie and Tim? Yeah, we prayed for her wisdom teeth. I don't know if we did it here or not, but we did. I thought it was we did it on the outreach also. But anyway, we prayed for her teeth to get straight. And she said that, I believe it was Tim, had a vision of her teeth coming in straight. And the pain has really gone almost away from it. And she's still believing in faith for it. And also, I want y'all to believe us. We've already prayed for her. She has some physical problems, had a lump in her left breast, and there was pain all the way through to her backside. But we prayed and we're believing. Thank you, Father, that it is gone from her. Everything that God didn't put in there is gone in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that every cell, every organ in her body is healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And we thank you, Father, for fear being gone from her, anxiety being gone from her. And we praise you, Father, that she's standing in faith and she has already seen the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Lord, just to talk just a little bit about faith, because God's teaching us stuff here locally. And one of the things that he's teaching us is this, is to, when you are standing in faith, you confess nothing but what God's doing. In other words, if you say, well, I've got a toothache, after you're prayed for, no, I don't have a toothache anymore. It's gone in Jesus' name. It's already gone. That's what God is teaching us to do. Walk in it. Act like it's in there. Act like it's already done. Do it, you know, if you've got something wrong with a leg or something, I don't know, whatever it is, start doing what you couldn't do before. I remember the story of Kenneth Hagin. And y'all probably heard it too, when he was just a young man and he couldn't, I forget what the disease was. It was something terrible. And he found he couldn't get a preacher in town to pray for him because none of them believed in healing. And so he started looking in the Bible and he found Mark 11:23-24. He said, look at this. And he went and he said, yeah. If it's in the Bible, it's true. And he prayed the prayer of faith and he got up. Not that he wasn't able to get up, but he rolled himself out of bed onto the floor, held himself up to the bed and called his mama in there to help him to the to the breakfast room table. And she helped him get in there and his daddy was sitting in there and his dad said, well, hey, son. Come on in, sit down. Act like nothing had happened, you know. And he did, and he sat up, and the next day, he got up, got his clothes on, and hobbled himself down to where he used to work. And he did that for days before he was actually here. And the people down there said, told him with the hard work that he had to do, I forget what it was, I think it was working at a sawmill or something. But anyway, there's some big guys there, big guys about his age. And they said, you won't last a day. You know what? He said, I'll be here when y'all are gone. And it was. That was his confession. And God healed him. It wasn't an instantaneous healing. It was a gradual healing. Every day he'd get stronger. Every day he'd get stronger. Every day he'd get stronger. Because he kept, I am healed. I can go to work because bless God, I'm healed. The word said it. Bless God, I believe it. And I ain't speaking against it. Somebody say, well, you're all crippled. I am healed in Jesus' name. And don't you come around and rebuke you, you know, whatever it is. That is faith. That's what you confess. When you confess it and believe it, the Lord told us this. He told us this. He said, if it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Just because it doesn't happen in your time frame. He said, but you have to speak it like the angels. You could ask the angels. If you wanted to ask the angels, you know, I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe that I'm here. And you'll ask them in the next 5 minutes, angel, am I here? Yeah, you're here. You're here. And you'll ask them 2 days later and you still feel bad. Am I here? Didn't I tell you the other day you was here? You're here. Michael, just go ahead. You're here. And they will tell you that. They will tell you that. And they will tell you that until you get it in your heart that you're healed. That's what they're teaching us. In other words, don't back off of your prayers for your loved ones or whatever it is. It makes no difference. Always hang on to it. Somebody comes up to you. Well, you don't look well. Don't make no never mind what I look like. Bless God, I'm healed. Because this is what the word said. The truth is the truth. You're looking at fact. I have the truth. Truth will change the fact. Right? It will. The fact that I don't look well don't mean nothing. Because I know what the word says. And the word says, by his stripes I am healed. And that's exactly what I am. And you have to be dogmatic in your faith. You have to be dogmatic in it. That's what the Lord said. Now, I know there's some preachers out there that teach, well, you can't be lying. That's not lying in God's word. Is it? No, it ain't. Just keep on confessing it. Okay. That baby right there is healed too. Ain't it? Jesse's healed. Jesse is healed. Glory to God. It's already been done. That boy is healthy. He's got divine health written all over him. Glory to God. You know what divine health is? That means he ain't getting sick now another time. Not one other time. Because we spoke the word of God. And mom and daddy are believers. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, he is. Perfectly made in Jesus, Judy says. Yes, he is. All right. Anybody else? How many of you going to be in the bride? Glory to God. So I'm going to be in the bride. Everybody's going to be in the bride. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have warm weather around here all winter, too. Glory to God. Glory to God. I see y'all grinning and say, oh, okay. You watch what I tell you. I'll be sweating when y'all are freezing. That's a natural fact. Oh, my. I see doubt and unbelief in you. Mm-mm. No. How many of you know that God can turn your temperature up when he wants to? You, inside of you. I'll be hotter than a $2 pistol. All right. Okay, has anybody else got something they'd like to say? I'm going to get down off my soapbox. It's not really a soapbox. Up on this mountain, it'd be more like a cut-off tree of stone. How many of you excited that we're in these times that we're in? We ain't just kind of crawling into it now. I'm telling you, we're full force going into it. I have never in my entire life seen the wickedness that I've seen just in the last little bit. Never have I seen the wickedness that's in the world and here locally and out in the fellowship. Not y'all. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about coming against us. Let's pray. That's, we supposed to be putting our body gear on every day. Praying against these enemies that we have, against the outreach here and abroad. Now, I know some of y'all are abroad here, but I'm talking about, you know, the missionaries and everything like that. Father God, you're an awesome God, and I praise you and I glorify you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us our battle armor already, and we're putting it on. We've got our sword out, and we're going to whack the enemy with it, Lord. You said in your word that whatever we pray and we believe that we have received, we shall have it. Then I pray against these missionaries' enemies over in the Middle East and over in Africa. I pray against them right now, and I thank you, Father, that your angels are over there protecting them. I thank you, Lord, that if they come against and try to kill one of ours, he's gone, like you told us. And I praise you, Father, that you're multiplying the books out there. They burn one book, gets put out in its place, or 10. And Lord, multiply just like you're doing. We thank you, Father, for keeping it up, protecting the missionaries over there, and also multiplying the book. We see Catholics coming into the kingdom again, by the multitudes coming in because they want to know what those books are. And we praise you, Father, glory to God. We thank you, Father, for your complete revival over there in the Middle East and in Africa. Just a real good revival, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the ones that that you give a gift of translation to give the gift of translation to somebody over there that has faith to teach them what faith is and to walk boldly in the Lord. And I praise you, Father, for that. And now we don't have to lack for nothing because your word says it. And I thank you for that too, Lord. We can do it. We don't have to depend on man for anything. We can depend on you for everything. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And I come against the enemy. It comes against this outreach right here with their witchcraft. I cast every witchcraft curse spoken against them down to the earth as null and void right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank, Lord of God, and I thank you, Father, that you've got a hedge of protection around every one of us. It's a wall of fire that they can't penetrate in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for the same hedge of protection around the locals here also. And I thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed this body of all unrighteousness. And I praise you, Father, for your supernatural protection upon each and every one of us in Jesus' name. And all of my brothers and sisters right here, Father God. And I praise you and I glorify you that you are doing a mighty, wonderful work in us, Lord. That you have given us the authority over all the power of the enemy. And we are using that power to come against our enemies. And we are walking in divine health. We are walking in complete protection. We are walking in the provisions that we need to get the gospel out. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Well, I get my, give me a little something here tonight. No, I didn't. Let me see. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Morning, everybody. I just want to share on Monday morning, My prayer time, I'm asking the Lord to bring somebody, to show me somebody that I can share the gospel with, said me. And then just after that, I saw a lady's face. I'm staying in a self-caring unit where there's 68 different flats that people are staying in. But he showed me this one face. It was a lady, and she's a bit older than I am. And then Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I prayed a bit later. Maybe I can have a look, walk around to see if I can see where she stay or whatever. And just the Lord showed me, and I make an appointment to drink some coffee. So I find out she was just out of hospital 2 months ago with a third seizure. And it's, she lost somewhere too. So, but she's looking good afterwards. But now when we talk about all this, the thing is, it's so glad when I talk about the Lord and things so on. So she agreed with about everything. It's just the final stages of, the Lord have done everything for you. You have to walk in victory. She doesn't, walk in. We agreed to again to drink some coffee and things. So it's somebody you can talk to, but greet most of the stuff. So I just started showing her some of the David stuff and things. It's very good for me to share same things almost, but we share. Yeah. It's just about the David now. Most of the final points of born again and living because it's already been done and all that. There's that final stage. Showed her on the videos of children. That praise the Lord is somebody can talk to, so somebody is, it's good to interact. So I just want to say praise, thank you, Lord, for it.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for those, Christian people out there that we can talk to. I think that's what you were talking about, right? Amen. I'm getting a word every now and then, Joe. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. You got them all. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I just said Julie got them all, so you can they can fill in the final points for you.
What Joe had been praying for was asking the Lord if there was somebody that he could share the gospel with or talk to about the Lord. And the Lord has showed her, gave him a vision of a face. I don't know if it was somebody you knew or just beforehand or not, but this woman that lives in these flats nearby or whatever in the neighborhood, and they were able to talk, and she came to find out that she had been in the hospital and had like a third seizure, but she's doing much better now. And Joe was able to talk to her about some things, and she was able to receive it and understand what he was saying. And just recently, he's been able to share some things that Brother David's been talking about, born again, and that she's able to understand it and showing her some videos and stuff. So, and it's nice to be able to share the word with somebody. Did I pretty much cover that, Joe?
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, for Julie's interpretation. She got it. She can hear it. She can understand, Joe. I can hear too, best guy. Amen. Almost every word. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Sound like you're in a hurl, but we can hear you.
Oh, okay. yeah. So I wanted to share something that I heard today, talking to my boss. And this, David mentioned this a few weeks ago, I think. Mariana reminded me. My boss asked me on the way home, we were talking for an hour and a half. He said, Isaac, you hear about that broadcasting, that nationwide broadcast? And I said, no. Well, what are you talking about? You know, I didn't know what he was referring to, like broadcast. Like, what do you mean broadcast? Is it company broadcast? Like, what's going on here? And he goes, no, it was a national broadcast. I said, I guess I still don't get it, man. And he went on the mainstream news and pulled it up on his computer. And he said, right here, tomorrow at 2:20, they're going to do a national broadcast. And I was like, man, that's really odd. He goes, and he asked me, he goes, what do you think about that? I've heard a lot of rumors, conspiracy theorists and all that. And forgive me, I don't mean that in any derogatory sense. He goes, what do you think about it? I said, man, I don't, honestly, I guess I don't really know a bunch about it. I said, but I have, I think, heard something about a link between that frequency and vaccines. Now, the fellow's vaccinated, I found out later. And I was like, whoops, oopsie. So you're fine. Don't worry, buddy. You're going to be great. I did tell him, though, I said, you know, because we talked about the vaccine, and he said he wished he'd never have done it. He hadn't felt right since. And I said, well, you know, the Lord can make your blood clean. You know, he's still answering miracles today. So we had that conversation. Anyways, I talked to Marianne about it when I got home. I said, honey, my boss brought this out of nowhere. And then she found it where David was talking about it on his the podcast. He I guess it's wrote down. And on the same day at the same time. And so I just want to let you guys know, you know, I'm going to be safe and sorry. I don't really I don't know what to think about it. Michael, you may know more. I really don't. And I apologize that I don't. But like you said earlier, Michael, things are just so crazy anymore. Maybe 10 years ago, somebody said something like this to me and what could happen, I would think, wow, this is crazy. There's no way. But nowadays, it's like, you know, nowadays, just nothing's too far-fetched. It's just totally amazing. Anyways, so I'm going to leave it there. But say, this is national news. So, you know, Michael, I just wanted to let people know, but that's all.
Okay. All right. Well, I can tell you that this morning, David and I talked about it, and we decided to go ahead and he wanted me to email or put something on the blog. And then a little bit later, he said, why don't you ask the Lord if he really wants us to warn people about this, if it's necessary to warn people about this. So I came up here and prayed for a while, and I asked the Lord. And I took my answer down there to him, and I said, the Lord told me no. There's nothing to worry about. He said, well, that's what I got, too. So that's what we did. I took it down off the blog, and the Lord said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. So I don't know if they postpone it till the 11th. I don't know. We don't know. But we just play the day at a time, you know. So it's nothing to worry about as far as we're concerned anyway. But what they had wanted us to do was turn off all your communication devices, turn off your cell phones, turn off your computers, unhook from the Wi-Fi, unhook from this, unhook from that. Don't listen to the radio. You know, every time you get in the car or your truck, you listen to the radio. But the Lord said, don't worry about it. So I took it down off the blog, and that's not something that we have to worry about right now. Go ahead, Phil.
I had a testimony to share.
Let's hear it.
Last night we had a really good meeting that lasted till about 10:30, and we were praying a lot and about deliverance, and just it was a really good meeting. And this morning I woke up from a pretty interesting dream. This might sound a little queasy, but y'all bear with me. Thank you, Lord. So in my right hand, in my dream, there's this hole in like neck close to my where my thumb is, and or that it's like a fatty, muscly area next to the thumb. And there's a hole there, and I started playing with it, and then something was there in my thumb. And I started pulling this thing out, and it was a parasite. And it did not want to come out. And it was striped. It had weird colorings on it, like reds and blacks and yellows. And had like, it was scurrying around on like four legs. It was the weirdest parasite you ever seen. And I took it out. It was about, you know, 6 inches long or so. It was nasty. I mean, it was pretty gross. And I put it in a container and I was like, what on earth? And that was the dream, you know, and I told Lana about it. I was like, don't vomit here in bed, you know. And it was just not pleasant, like this icky, gross feeling. But I was like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that whatever that parasite was, it had to leave because I got Jesus in me and it cannot stay. Not in our house, not in me, not in our family. Whatever that parasite was, it's gone. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
What, was that a dream or was that an actuality?
A dream.
Oh, okay.
But to me, that signifies a spiritual, you know, parasite, whatever it was.
It's gone. Praise God. Thank it's gone. You, Jesus.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Okay, Benita. I'm sorry, Geneva says that she asked for prayer for her and Morgan. Just kind of needs some prayer that God help us to communicate better. Lord, we just thank you for putting love in both of their hearts for each other. Real down deep type of love that they are cognizant of one another. And they will just speak nothing but Jesus to each other. And Lord, we thank you for smoothing down any rough edges in Morgan, smoothing down any rough edges in Geneva also. And we praise you, Father, that this house is locked in on Jesus and Jesus is going to be talking. And he talks nothing but nice love things to each other. And I praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, put peace in Morgan's heart. Put peace in Geneva's heart to always have a smile on their face and skipping their walk when they're talking to each other. And I praise you for it, Father, that the light of Jesus would flow out of both of them. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. We command any kind anger to go, any kind of anxiety to go, that doesn't make any difference what's coming in front of them. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that they're going, from this point on, we're going to see a loving dialogue between both of those wonderful people of God in Jesus' name. And we speak it and we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Everybody believe that? Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. LUV all over that house in Jesus' name. All right. That was kind of EU, wasn't it? EU. Go ahead, Pissy.
I'd like to pray for them too.
Okay.
Father, I praise you and thank you for Geneva and Morgan and little Micah too. But Father, I ask you, I just rebuke any spirit of rejection that may be hindering communication, fear of expressing of communication and what is said not being received by the other in the name of Jesus. We just rebuke that and forbid it to operate in the name of Jesus, that they will both speak to each other in loving, kind words and not be afraid, have rejection or fear of rejection and be able to communicate. And there will be no assumptions of what the other's thinking or no misunderstandings because of lack of communication. There'll be completely open, free communication, Lord, and just such freedom and joy in communicating, Lord, and heartfelt desire to understand each other and to be quick to hear and slow to speak, Lord, that they listen and to each other and not interrupt. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that they have really good communication and complete understanding of each other and consider the other above themselves, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And I bind up any kind of communication spirits that may be trying to twist things. We praise you, Father, that it's going to be complete, straight talk to each other. And it's going to be nice talk, too. And we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey, I have a testimony, unless somebody else wanted to pray. Looks like we're good to go. So as Theo mentioned, we had a wonderful meeting here locally last night. And I had asked for prayer for deliverance with things I had been struggling with and that I had been coming attacked with. And as the discussion went on last night, it turned to rejection. And growing up, my family was full of rejection, and they would, you know, they would put it on me as well. And they persecuted me a lot because I kind of, I had the spirit of the Lord. That's all I'm going to say. And they didn't like it. And they went after me. They said to my face at one point that you were always right and we hated it. I couldn't help it. That was, maybe it's the way I carried myself, when I was right or whatever. But, anyways, having said that, I compensated for this rejection in many other ways throughout my life. And I had always, not necessarily maybe prided myself, or maybe that was, but I never carried a grudge. I got over things pretty quick. You know, somebody offended me, whatever, life goes on and I move on. I didn't walk around sad faced or anything. I just perked up and went on. Anyways, having said all that, I did not realize that I had a fear of rejection, and this fear of rejection was so strong in me that, I struggled with anxiety, did not know that this was anxiety that I was struggling with, but I struggled with anxiety for years. Like even if the thought of talking to my mom, would make my stomach twist, the thought of facing my sisters, especially having gone through what I have recently with them in the last year or two, it was mental torment physically. I didn't want to think about it. And so last night's conversation really brought to light that I had a fear of rejection, and that fear of rejection was bringing other torments into my life. Impatience, frustration, irritation, and an anger I never thought I was capable of. This anger especially tormented me like nothing else. I would literally scream out to the Lord to make it stop. And so I got prayer for all of this. And then I asked for prayer over my boys for these same things, because I had been sensing that my boys were carrying some of these things as well. And that until it was conquered in me, I couldn't expect for my boys to be able to overcome or to be delivered of these things themselves. And praise the Lord. I knew I couldn't rely on my emotions or any supernatural experiences to confirm that I was delivered. I had a feeling that the Lord just wanted me to stand by faith, that it was done. And I had that resolve within me last night. I was thinking, man, I don't care what the devil throws at me to try to convince me otherwise. I'm delivered, period. And today, little Theo, I know over the last few months, I've come on here a few times asking for prayer with my boys, because it's been such a struggle with the anger and the rejection, especially when I had to discipline them. And today I had to discipline little Theo again. He just refused to go ride his bike after begging to go ride his bike. And I was like, that's it. You're disobeying mama. You're going to go ride your bike. And that's it. And I took him inside the house to take care of it. And he didn't like it. He squirmed. He was unhappy about it. But I instantly sensed that old anger, that viciousness that would take over him, it wasn't there anymore. He was unhappy. He squirmed around a bit. And I said, Theo, you're going to ride your bike. And that's a yes, mama. And he looked at me kind of sullen for a second. And then he was just like, okay, yes, mama. And he headed out the door and eventually got to that bike. So I just, it's a report of deliverance. It's a praise report. There has been a change and I'm standing on it that if the enemy tries to come back by the grace of God, we're not, he doesn't have a spot around here. We're going to endure in this thing until the very end. And that all those deliverances in me and in my boys are going to manifest them themselves 100%. And we're going to endure until the end because it's done in Jesus' name. So that's
Amen. It. Amen. Thank you, Father, for all of being delivered in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that they're obedient boys. We praise you, Father, for those obedient boys. And we thank you, Father, for a calm and patient mama in Jesus' name. And we thank you. It is already done because there is L-U-V in that house right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, go ahead, David or Alina.
I actually got a testimony. So roughly about 2 years ago, I shared on the outreach that I was talking with my brothers and I was excited because I got to talk to them about the Lord and everything and we had a good conversation and unfortunately it died down from there. And I witnessed my brothers go back to doing what they're doing and all that stuff and my oldest brother kind of got worse and I was like, man, it sucked. Saturday night, I get a phone call from my oldest brother. I was like, well, that's random. He never texts me or calls me. So I pick up the phone and he's like, David, I do not know what to do. He's like, I cannot find peace anywhere. He's like, I go to any church. I feel like everybody's judging me. I can't find peace. And he's like, help me. I don't know what to do. And I was talking to him for like an hour and 16 minutes. And man, the spirit of the Lord took over. And boy, it converted me even, you know.
Praise God.
But man, we had such a good conversation and at the end of the conversation, he's like, I knew God was telling me to call you. He's like, that is exactly what I needed to hear. And I was like, well, and he's like, would it be okay if I visited? I was like, come on over. I was like, come visit. I mean, we got people you could meet, you know?
Real people.
You think I could convert you? Goodness. No, but praise the Lord. I mean, seeing that kind of change in him was, it even shocked me, you know, and just praise the Lord. What the Lord's doing is amazing.
That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for brothers that we can talk to about Jesus. That is awesome. I wish I could do that. Hey, would y'all believe with me for my brother? I've got an older brother and my oldest brother. Lord, I just thank you for, I reach out to David, Father God, and I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to him. Lord, he's always been self-made. I got the other brother, he was self-made too, but I'm thanking you, Father, for breaking him to the point that he would call me. And talk to me just like David, brother, did to him. And I thank you, Father. And I ask that for everybody here that's got somebody that they love to spread the gospel with, to share the gospel with. And I thank you for doing that for each and every one of us, Lord. I know at some point in time you're going to heal or you're going to deliver and bring them into the kingdom, every one of them that we've been praying for. But I want one of my brothers to be able to talk on the phone and bring him out here and they would be a prime suspect, Lord, because he's the one that came out here wanting to see if I was in the cult. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for David and bringing him into the kingdom. And I thank you for it, Father. I believe it, Lord. I believe you have, I break the power of Satan off of him right now. And I thank you, Lord. And I praise you, Father. I praise the Lord of harvest. I pray to the Lord of harvest to send somebody around to him that he would listen to. And I thank you for bringing him into the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Now, angels, get to it. Get that boy in here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done. And everybody, y'all can pray for yours just the same way because it's going to happen. Right, David? Amen. I like what David prayed for Geneva and Morgan. Said that accusations, frustrations, and all disruption demons out of that house now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe it. It's going to be a changed household from this point on in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a testimony. Testimony time. Testimony time. Glory to God. I got a testimony. My grandson, Blake, my good old buddy, my preaching boy, my preacher boy, my mighty man of God. He's on the job today. Or yesterday, I'm sorry. It's yesterday. And he's a welder. And he welds rebar for concrete pads for bridges for the state, but he works for a private contractor. And he also helps in other ways too, but that's his primary job. Well, he was up on about 50 foot up and he was tightening a bolt. They have these standards that sometimes they'll loosen them off and tighten them to jack them up or, you know, whatever they got to do to a bridge. And, he couldn't get it tight. They wanted him to tighten that bolt up on there because it had worked itself loose. And he was tightening it up. And the pipe wrench had a big pipe on it to give him some leverage to tighten it up with. And it slipped, cut his finger off, cut his little pinky off on his hand. And he's 50 foot up. He's the only one up there. And so they had to send somebody up there to climb up the bucket to get up there to him. And they finally got him down and his pinky right here, the wrench had caught it and just shattered it right in here. This first knuckle from here on up, it was just a bloody mess. They took a picture of it and sent it to me. Of course, I showed everybody at the fellowship last night and boy, they were throwing up and everything. I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad, but it was pretty bad. Anyway, we prayed for him. And one of the prayers that we prayed was that, Lord, save that boy's finger in Jesus' name. Well, he got to the hospital and they said, well, they're going to have to cut it off at this knuckle here, the first knuckle coming up from the hand. He's going to have to cut it off there, sew it up. Because he didn't have anybody there that knew anything about sewing up, putting things back together. And they got him in surgery this morning, and the surgeon came out, and he said, no, we ain't got to do all that. He said, all we got to do is take the fingernail off and sew it up, and it'll be fine. And that's what they did. They did cut a little bit of the finger off where the fingernail is, but that's all. So he'll have most of his finger when he gets out of it. Thank you, Father, for doing it. Lord, I thank you for taking that pain away from me. He didn't sleep at all last night. And so, Lord, I thank you that tonight he's going to sleep all night long and that pain's going to be gone. He won't have to take none of that medicine in Jesus' name. And I praise you for it, Father. That Blake is healed, Lord and God. And I thank you, Father, for saving his finger like you did in Jesus' name. Even with the surgeon's help, you honor our prayers. That's where he was, and I know you met us where he is. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody else? Y'all ready for some good music? I got some praise music. I'm talking about some good gospel. I'm talking about some gospel. I'll show you some gospel here. Okay. If I can find it here. Yeah, there it is.
Precious Lord, take my
That was Aretha Franklin, if you didn't know. Did the thing play okay except for the first minute or so? Okay, I'm sorry. What happened? I don't know why this happens, but when I get something up on the internet and I leave it there while I'm talking here, while y'all are talking here, when it's time to play it, it has to reload again, and it takes a little bit. I apologize for that. Oh, well. How many of you know that Aretha Franklin's dad was a preacher who was actually friends with Martin Luther King some years ago? All right. Anybody want to talk about something else? Anybody got anything on their mind that they'd like to give some explanation about or give some explanation about? Yeah, Ben.
I got a little question. I was reading John chapter 10, and I got to verse 18.
What was the...
John chapter 10, verse 18. I'll say it. No one took it away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. To take it again. What is he meaning by that?
Let me get to John 18. How much?
John 10 and verse 18. His context is, I lay down my life that I take it again. Why would he take it? Like, I understand that he rose, but what is he taking and taking it again? I don't understand what he's talking about.
He's talking about his life. Let's read what he's talking about here. Anybody want to go with it before I go into this? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, he's talking about laying down himself. No one took it away from me. But I laid down myself. I have authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it up again. To take it again. This commandment received I from the Father. You know, he's going to die on the cross. And his life is going to come back again. Now we know he rose physically. But he rose somewhere else. He rose in us. So it's like another verse where he says, yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but ye will see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. So, these are just some verses that Jesus is hinting towards us that he's going to come and live in his people. So that's what I think it is anyway. And he has the authority to do that because God the Father gave him all power and authority. And we are a corporate body now in Christ Jesus. That's what I get anyway. I could be wrong. I might have to check out the verses prior and after it.
Well, that's exactly what he says. He says, for this the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I take it again. The Holy Spirit was what took him back up, wasn't it?
A lot of people might think that he's talking about when he comes back after and shows himself to the people, but he wants to show himself for us too. Like, he wants to do that in us, you know. He wants you to carry him, and not only him, but the Father also. You know, you got to walk in love, You got to walk in the light. You got to walk in the truth. And we know who the truth is. And we have to walk in Emmanuel. Because Jesus said, if any love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with them. So that's the wonderful good news that we have, that the Father comes with Jesus. You know, and he's the one kind of working Jesus out in us to walk in him, to walk in Emmanuel, God with us, and we're his workmanship created. So if we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, then it's not Christ Jesus necessarily doing this, but it's the Father doing it in us. So it's just a wonderful thing, you know, that, you know, I read that thing from, we had on the internet there about, well, it was quite lengthy. I think it was John G. Lake. It was one of the old emails that Michael sent us. And, you know, they had all these various people who tried to base the church on just on tongues or in the spirit and all this stuff. But what is really happening here is, I think it's you have to walk in Emmanuel, but you're not Emmanuel. You're walking with God with us, because that's who you have, and you're being created by the Father into this. So that's what I see anyway. I know that it makes you feel like a small child, because there's so much more that you want in Christ. But you know, that's what he says in Mark 10:15. Receive the kingdom of God like a little child. And to walk in truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But where is Jesus getting it all? So, you know, if the Father makes us and fixes our heart and our mind and our expression. You know, I forget what it was entitled, that thing that Michael gave to us from John G. Lake. But, you know, he's talking about tongues in there. He's talking about, doesn't the Lord control all the language anyway? So shouldn't he be able to give you these languages? I know people have to study languages, learn them and everything. And, you know, I was, you know, stuck with three of them, and I don't know any language, not even English. So, but you have a tongue, you know, and he gives you a tongue. So, you know, in the days of the book of Acts, you know, he gave them languages, you know, like real languages that you can, and what would stop the Lord from preventing a person from speaking those languages? He spoke of, in South Africa, there was like, I don't know how many languages there were there. It would take so many ministers to just minister to every tribe that's there. But, you know how you get in the zone when the Lord is leading you in something? Sometimes it's just a real short period of time, but other times it lasts for quite a while. And, he's just working on something really long with you. And sometimes you might forget about it, or you'll pray for something, you forgot that you prayed about it, but you got the healing anyway. Well, God's always in the zone for us, you know? And, you know, there's the verse there, and, you know, he says he lives in you. He says it right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, when he's talking about the temple, for what agreement hath God's sanctuary with idols? And then he goes on that he lives in you, you know? He abides in you. But 2 Corinthians 6, you know, 2 Corinthians 6,
16.
Yeah, there it is. For we are the living God's sanctuary, even as God said that, I will dwell in them and walk and be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't that great? And, you know, plus that if any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our... So that, there's your two witnesses. So don't argue with that, because that's the, one of the best things. We got to walk in God, and we got to walk in Jesus. But, you know, Jesus even said, I only speak what the Lord tells me to speak, and I only do what he tells me to do. And we've had those sessions. And we do get very excited about them. But, you know, he was talking in that thing that he, John G. Lake had so much power coming out of him from God that it, he wasn't getting excited over the healings anymore. And it's just amazing that a person could be used that way by God. And that's just, well, my age, one generation before me. I think he was in the 1920s or something. I can't remember when John G. Lake was around it. I don't know. So I'm sorry I'm babbling on. So praise God, glory to God.
Amen. What's awesome about the whole thing is the power that God, that Jesus had, we've got available to us because Jesus gave us the same power. He gave it to us. He had it. That's why he told him. He said, I can't stay here. If I stay here, you know, I can't sit. You can't do what needs to be done. If I go up there, I give you, you know, the wherewithal to do what has to be done to get the gospel out. All the power, all the authority that's needed. Provisions, everything is available for you when I go up there. All right.
How you stressing to us on just how much he loves us and how much he wants to do this through us and stuff. And we're some sort of crazy hindrance, or, well, I don't know if hindrance is the right word. We desire and want to. We want to serve God, you know. And, you know, I had to take a break, and I was watching that movie Sheffy again, you know. And, you know, he's just a young lad. He just got saved. And now, you know, he was a school teacher for a while. And then he's not even 21 years old, and they're making a preacher of him. You know? And he's going around and preaching to everyone. And he preached all his life, you know, until he had gray hair.
Who was that?
Sheffy from okay. Virginia, you know. Yeah, he was back in the 1800s, you know. I think they were a little bit more spiritual back then, you know. And anyway, get some real good examples from history. You know, they did really the best they could for what they had.
Andrew, you remember that kid at Richard Bakke? Oh, what his name is, over in South Africa. And he was going out after preaching to a bunch of people in high weeds. And that young man stepped out in front of him and told him, he said, I heard you tonight. And he said, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he got out, had the lights on, prayed for this kid. And then a few days later, he heard about this great revival going on in his tribe. Somewhere in the same country, but somewhere different to where he was. And he said, really? He said, what is it? He said, well, they've got a young man up there that went into, the chief's hut And he healed his daughter. He was nailed down, healed his daughter, and the chief had him out there preaching to the whole village, and the whole village came, came to Jesus. And he went from there. He just never quit. He just went from there and went all over that country up in there, preaching the gospel and getting people healed. This is a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing, you know. And I don't know what hinders us, but that's going to be gone. It's got to be gone.
Yeah.
What is going to happen in the future, it has to be gone for each of us, no matter where, because it has to be gone. We know the things that are going to happen in the future. We've studied them for years. Those things have to be taken out of the way, you know. But there's an encouragement time for us. I kind of think it's kind of like presents from the Father that he wants to give us and answers to our prayers. You know, if you ever see that that picture where there's this one guy trying to pray to God and he's like up in the clouds and he doesn't make it through the clouds or something? And there's the other guy who's he's just like a couple of inches off the ground, his prayer. Like, what is that? We just read a verse where God is right inside of us, you know? Like, that. And then I went, oh, that's got to be baloney now.
Why has it got to be baloney, Andrew?
Yeah.
Why can't it be a hot dog?
He's on his knows everything, man. He knows what we're talking about now, and thank you, Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. I know now because I'm a little nervous.
Well, but you're right. You're right. How many of you out there by yourself and don't have anybody to associate with? Get out there on the streets, get somebody saved and bring them over to your house for a Bible study. That'll start right there. Then you can start getting somebody else, get somebody else. Go out there and lay your hands on the sick. Say, Lord of God, you're healed. And they'll be healed. They'll want to know. And you got to tell them, in order to keep that healing, you need to repent and believe. Well, what does that mean? Then you get to tell them. Then you get to invite them over to the house. If you'll come over to my house 7 o'clock tonight, bless God, I'll show you all about it. Okay, I'll be there. Can I bring a friend? Bring all you want. There you go. You've got a church started right there. Amen. Amen. I've done it. I know it works. I did it. A few times. All right. That's what God wants. He wants us. That's what they're doing over in the Middle East right now. They go out two by two, sending them out two by two. Y'all going out there. And they go out there and they're finding and bringing them in by the droves. Glory to God. Started out with one man. What was it? 3 years ago? One man 3 years ago. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people coming to Christ from a Muslim background. From a Catholic background, from a Jehovah's Witness background. Now they're knowing the true God and they've got that love in their heart. They know about God's love now because they never knew it before. The Muslims didn't have it. The Catholics didn't have it. The Jehovah's Witnesses didn't have it. But the Christians over there did because they have learned from the Bible, from good teaching. And they've done the same thing that we're talking about tonight. They go out there and get somebody, get them in there, invite them to a meeting, and they do all that. Lord of God. Got one man teaching in a college over there, a Muslim college. And they just invited him back for the next year, and for the next year, and for the next year. And he's teaching thousands of kids about Jesus. Woo, Lord of God. I'm telling you, that's something to shout about. That's true evangelism. What did he tell us to do? Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Healing the sick. Raising the dead. Casting out demons. and you preach the gospel with signs and wonders following. What's a sign and wonders? Whatever you want it to be. Just like Andrew said, I knew of a guy down in Georgia, knew of him. I don't think he's alive now. That the Lord gave him the ability, just like Andrew was talking about, to speak any language that he needed. And he used a lot of them at times. You know who it was? What's that guy's name that's on TV down there? Perry, what's his name? Oh, gosh. What's
You're
his
right,
name,
Missy? Perry something, but I can't think what the last name is either.
You know, anyway, it was his Stone, uncle. Yeah, Perry Stone. It was his uncle. It's his dad's brother that was down there. He was a farmer. They come out to eat. Some Greek guy come out there and start talking to him in Greek. He understand every word of it. Talk right back to him. Never spoke it in his life before. But he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can do anything that God wants you to do. And that's why they would seek him out. They'd seek him out and God sent him to. You go over here and see old Farmer Stone over here. He'll talk to you about me. And they go over there too and start talking in Greek or Spanish or German or it didn't make any difference. Russian, whatever. Chinese, he could speak that too. And understand it. You're right. God can do anything, whatever he has to do. What about over there in, in Asia? It's not Asia, but Eurasia. Is that right? Where the missionaries are going out on the islands out there, walking across the water to get to them. Where is it, Missy?
Indonesia.
Indonesia, yeah. Indonesia. I remember the story about the first ones that the Lord told them, said, this, how are we going to get over there, Lord? They said, like I did. Just walk out there and get on it. And they, okay, bless God. And so the first one went out. He said, if Jesus says we can do it, we can do it. He walked out there until he got about knee deep. And then he didn't get no deeper than that. He just walked the whole way across there. And the next one might be right on top of the water. But they would get to where they were going. Once you do it once, they knew they could do it from then on, right? That's right. So God is not a God that if he asks you to do something, he's going to get you there. Remember what he told Moses? Moses cried to him, Lord, we're surrounded. Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Got the water back here and I got the Egyptians up here. What am I supposed to do? He said, my. Didn't I tell you was going to the promised land, Moses? Didn't I tell you, boy? He said, now raise that staff and get that water out the way and get on across there. And that's what he did. And then after he got across there, what happened? He saw the Egyptians coming after him in the water. He said, okay, get rid of Red Sea. Red Sea. Oh, they all went. You know what? They found the king's chariot out there in the water. Archaeologist, yeah, I think it was, what's his name? Ron White. White. Found all of that down in there. First king that was ever drowned in a war from Egypt, I believe he said. You can't sell God short. I'm going to tell you something. He'll fix your pump that's a half a mile away, your water line that's a half a mile away, and you ain't got no way to find out where the leak is. He'll do it. He'll fix your tractor. He'll do anything. Whatever you put your mind that you need done, he'll do it. If you need revelations in the Word of God, just pray before you open that book. Say, Lord, open up my eyes to see what you want me to see in this Word. And I'll believe it. And he'll do it. You open that Bible up. Good gracious, I bet I've read that thing 138 times and never did see that. You know, and it'll just pop right open to you. I've done it. I know all y'all have too. I bet I've, you know, read over some stuff and I come and never seen that before. No, that's just awesome. Awesome. And I probably read it 150 times. I found one the other day. I said, I bet I read that thing a bunch of times. And the Lord can do anything. We keep saying this, but people keep putting him in the box. Get him out of the box. We got work to do. If you do the work now, doing the, you can read and study the Bible all you want to, but you ain't bearing no fruit if you ain't out there doing the Bible. And I'm not trying to put condemnation on anybody. I'm just saying, when the opportunity arises, utilize it. Make it part of your life. If you're in Walmart, you see somebody that needs prayer, that's walking around on a cane or whatever, bring the kingdom of heaven to them. The Lord told me to come over here and pray for you. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Lord told you that? Sure did. And he did, right in this word. He told every one of us. And that's what you do. You go out there and you get a hold of somebody. You say, glory to God. You know, and you get them healed. And you can tell them, just like I said a while ago. You start preaching the gospel to them. Well, I'm a Baptist. We don't believe that. Okay. But you want me to pray for you for healing? Well, yeah. You think he can do it? I said, no, he can't do it. He will do it. He'll do it. Sometimes you got to coax him into it. He will do it. How you know he will do it? Because I have seen so many before you being healed. I was healed by God. You know, you can tell them that. Then you pray for them. Then their eyes light up like a neon sign. What? And a lot of times I'll just tell them, I said, do you have any pain in your body? Oh, well, you don't know, Michael. See, I got pain in my back, you know, and it's hurting me. I said, okay, if the pain goes away, you know you're healed, right? Yeah. It don't make any difference what it is. If there's a little pain, if you could, when you pray for them, just tell them, say, if the pain's gone, you know you're healed, right? Yep. And that's easy to get going. Pain, go in Jesus' name. Be healed, be whole in the name of Jesus. That's all you got to say. You ain't got to go through a big elaborate, you know, thing I'm praying to. You ain't got to do that. Not in Walmart. You just tell them, say, behold and be healed in Jesus' name. And I say, is pain gone? Well, you know, I hate it. Yeah, it's gone. There ain't no pain there. I said, then you're healed. You know how to keep that healing? No, how? Repent. And believe what the Word of God says and quit listening to those preachers you've been listening to. And show some of the scriptures said, where do you go? I said, I'll tell you where I go. I said, you can meet me at wherever you want to do it. You know, he said, come over to my house or come over to our meeting 7 o'clock on whatever. You know, you do that. That's how you do. That's how you get the gospel out. And then they'll say, well, can I bring my brother or can I bring my wife or can I bring my son? Whatever. Next thing you know, you got a church going. Then they'll go out and you teach him how to disciple. Then they'll go out. Then somebody else will go out. Am I talking to somebody here? Lord of God. I wonder. Then you have church. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, you're talking to me. just so awesome. Today I was in Maryville with Angelica at a Walmart, and there's this woman she was heavy set, but she had a walker, a really wide cane or something. And she was walking like, kind of like I used to walk before I had a hip replacement years ago. And, you know, I just want to pray that something inside me wanted to pray for her, but something else inside me said, I don't think you really have the faith to believe she'll be healed. Yet I know that God heals, and I know the right things we should say. You believe, like I've heard you say, do you believe the Bible, you know? And if they say yes, you know, you start from there, but maybe it's a such an intimidation or I don't know what it is, but I just want prayer that, because I just felt this really strongly today that I just want, and maybe a lot of us feel the same way, that we can have prayer that we'd be bold, because we know our God. We know our God, and we can just say those simple things and prayers and like that in faith and then be healed. And we're just like, I'm me anyway. Maybe afraid it's not going to happen. They're going to think, oh, okay, well, thank, bye. So I just want prayer that I would be more bold to see someone like that and just go over them so lovingly and just say, hey, look, you got a problem here. And what's up? And just say, can I pray for you? And, you know, I want to be bold like that. So,
yeah.
It sounds so good, all that you're saying.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's what God said to do, right? It's what God said to do. And the way you strike up a conversation, the way I do it, Debbie, is this. I say, God specifically sent me over here to pray for you because I see you're in need. And he told me that he wants to bring the kingdom of heaven down here to you. Can I pray for you? And they're going to look at you like you're some kind of nutcase, you know. But you say, because he loves you. He loves you. He wants you healed. And they say, Yeah. Will he do that? He said in his word, he's willing. He's a man. He said he's a man that doesn't lie. He never lies. And all you guys doing is believe that God is going to back you up. He's going to back his word up. You put the word up there, then the word says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. That's the past tense. You've already been healed. And all we have to do is believe it. And he said, I'm going to lay my hands on you and the power of God's going to come through me to you and heal you. It's not you. It's not you that does it. It's God. Yeah, right. All you have to do is have the audacity to believe it. And it don't take much. He said the size of a mustard seed. That's all you need. It's not us that does it. It's God that does it through us.
Yeah. It's God.
And always encourage him. Always encourage him. And look, if it don't happen the first time, say, well, let me pray for you again until you get that pain gone. You get that pain gone. Pain's the easiest thing in the world to get gone. That's the easiest thing. You can get that gone. Once that pain's gone, then folks will believe anything. I remember the first time I had a leg grow out. Guy showed me how to do it, and I did it on a lady. And then I also showed a pastor. But one time in a church, I said, lady was in there. Two old ladies come in that church, little bitty church that I was in. It's a good church, great church. And they came in there late one night, and they were in on a walker. And I said, what's the matter, mama? I called my old mama, you know, I'm just trying to be nice to him. Come on in. It was old ladies, older than me. Anyway, they came in and sat down. I said, what's the matter with you? She said, oh, I said, my back's hurting. Da, 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 da. I said, sit down there. She sat down. And I said, raise your leg yet. He did one of them number. What you going to do? I said, let me see you. Let me see you. Let me see your feet. And I saw his feet. This is the Lord. You be led by the Lord in this kind of thing. And I saw her feet. One of them was about 3 inches longer than the other. I said, look at here. I told that pastor, I said, come here, Larry. I said, look at that. See how offset things are? One leg is longer than the other. I said, that's what calls for backache. Watch this. And I commanded that leg. I said, leg, come out to the same length as that other one right now in the name of Jesus. Boop. It went right out there. He said, good gracious, thanks a lot. Glory to God. God, God. Yeah, you know, Church of God. And that lady, I said, now get up out of there, run around this sanctuary, lady. She jumped up. She started running around, and her buddy, who was on the second row behind her, needed a prayer too. She automatically jumped up with her. She was automatically healed too. And the party was on then. That was awesome. But he knew then. He said, how'd you know that? I said, it's pretty obvious where we live. We're shorter and longer than that. I told another guy, a friend of mine, one day over in Conway, lady come up there, same thing, had a leg longer than others. And I told him, I said, buddy, come here. I said, pray that leg out to the other one. I said, all you got to do is just command it to come out. And he said, I command that leg to come out in the name of Jesus. I said, ho. I said, you got to tell it to stop where the other one is. If you don't, it'll end up Little Rock down there. She won't be able to walk in it. They all got a big kick out. Anyway, he did. He said, okay, come out to the same length as that other one over there. And he did, and it did, and the party was on. Those are easy ones. There's other ones. Look, God will do, he will back up whatever you need. He will. He don't want you to fail because of him. He does not want you to fail because of him. All we have to do is just have the boldness to go out there and do it. You know how to get faith? It's to pray in the Spirit before you go. Pray in the Spirit for at least an hour. This is not works thing. I'm telling you, it builds your faith up. It does. It builds your faith up. I know some of you have trouble speaking in, praying in the Spirit. Do it with discipline and you'll see a change in your spiritual life. Big time. Man, I've been talking most of the night. I gotta shut up and let y'all talk a lot. There's more of y'all than here than me. I know, Andrew. Just me and you tonight, it looks like, don't it? Joe said something. I know I get excited, Judy.
It was all you, Mike.
Judy says I get excited. Well, I do get excited. I love to see the Lord work. I love to see him work. That time, that little girl, 13-year-old girl in a church, not church guy, it was assembly guy, big church. I'll say big time, probably about 300 people in there, 300-400 people. And yeah. Pastor, huh?
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead, Andrew. I'll stop.
No, you were saying something. I was just thinking something, that's all.
Okay. You go ahead.
No, there was this guy who used to go all over Europe, and I forget his name. He had a funny name. I think he's from Denmark or something. And he would do these healings on the street, you know. And like, there was this one drunk guy. He healed his arm, you know, and he was in Poland that time, and he cracked his arm. Oh, you can hear the cracks, you know. What was his name? I forget his name anyway. And he has a real interesting name, like not like mine, but he's and he goes, and he used to do the street preaching like that and do healings and stuff. And he would go with the person, you know, just a brand new Christian too, and go and do it, you know. And he would tell the brand new Christian to do it too, so that they would go out two by two, you know, and do stuff like that. Oh, I wish I could remember his name. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no, that's fine, Andrew. I'd rather listen to you than me talk. What was I going to talk to you about? Going to say something.
The 13-year-old girl.
Oh, and in the God church. Yeah, good friend of mine, high school buddy of mine. He was a couple of years younger than I was in high school. But anyway, I Lord had me go over there to his church for a while. He was the one that I had the Tuesday and Thursday night healing classes. People from all over the country. And we had some good. Anyway, he'd always start the service with everybody get up and shake hands with somebody you hadn't shook before. Y'all ever heard that? Get up and shake hands with somebody. And I was getting up, milling around, and I saw this lady. Come here, Michael, come here. I didn't know her from Adam's Apple. She knew who I was. Anyway, she called me up. She said, would you pray for my daughter? I said, what's the matter with you? She said, she can't hear. And I believe it's her right ear. No, I said, left ear. She said, would you pray for her? She's deaf in the other ear. I said, sure I will. I told that girl, I said, you ready to get healed? She looked at me and said, huh? I just threw that in there now. That's not all that. I told her, I said, God fixing to heal you, honey. And I put my hand over her ear and I said, I command the deaf demon out of her left ear right now in the name of Jesus. And I stepped back about a foot and I said, she said, yeah. Lord of God. I stepped back a little bit further. I said, can you hear me? She said, yeah, I can hear you. You know, she was all excited and everything, completely healed. Glory to God. It was awesome. And nobody in there knew it. I didn't tell nobody. They didn't tell nobody. Everybody was shaking hands. Just me, mama, and the little girl, and people around knew it, that it was happening. God is so good. He is so good.
Well, I'm thinking, like, even if we have the boldness to pray for somebody and go, and we don't see them healed, but yet we've prayed in faith and we're believing and they go their way, and we can just, I mean, that's a start. We can believe in that they're going to be healed because God healed them. Let's see, he's going to manifest it to them. We can believe that. And if we can just do that one at a time, wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be
just,
awesome.
Just believing that they're healed, just believing that they are healed. They're going to, their healing's going to be manifested to them, whether you know it or not, because you know you prayed. But of course, we do want to see them healed then when you pray for them too. So.
Well, here's the key, Debbie, to instant healing is to believe that when you go out there, they're going to be instantly healed. Not a progressive type of healing. That occurs. That hurts. But you go out there with the thought, I might lay my hands on them. They're healed. They're healed. And you don't think nothing else. That's what you think, and that's what you believe. And when that happens, that you'll get more instant healings that way than if you just go out there. Well, I'm just going to pray for them, and pray, I know they're healed. But no, you go out there, they are healed. You know it. They're healed. And if they don't get healed the first time you pray for them, don't be ashamed. Let me pray for you again, you know, because let me tell you, and I hate to put it this way, You have power of God in you. And the power of God that you have in you, and I'm not trying to put it in a scale, but what if something came up in your mind while you was praying for him, you know, that only 20% of God went in there. You don't need to think about this like that, but just say that just for, let me get this out. And the next time you pray for him, it's 40%. The next time you pray for him, it's 60%. All right, you got 100% right there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? The first time you might have been distracted and, you know, the power of God might not have all gone in there at the same time. We just picked their hands up and said, are you going to pray for them again? Yeah, I want, you're getting healed. You're getting here. You don't, what I tell them is this. I said, look, you don't know what's going on inside your body. I do. Because you're having faith for them to be healed. You know God's healing. He said, now let's get this pain gone. We're going to pray again. You pray for them again. Rub their hands. And it's gone. I say, now you're here. You want to keep it? Yeah, I want to keep it. What are you talking about? Repent and believe is what Jesus says. What does that mean? Come over to my house 7 o'clock tonight and I'll tell you. Well, can I bring my husband? Yep. Bring him and all his buddies too, if you want to. That's how you do it. That's how you expand the kingdom. Yeah, Pat. Now, let me pray for Debbie first, okay? Let me pray for Debbie. Father God, I just pray for Debbie. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you give her a boldness to believe that you would actually back up what your word says that she can do. And I thank you, Father, that the first time that she lays her hands on somebody, that they will instantaneously be healed to build her faith up. And I thank you for it, Father, just like you did me. You kept doing it until I finally got it, until I finally got it, until I finally knew that you, every time I laid my hands on somebody, they're going to get healed. That's the way it works, Debbie. He's going to take your faith, what you have, and utilize it to get them healed. Get them healed until you finally say, okay, this is easy now. It's actually very mechanical. Very mechanical. You just know when you put your hands on them, they're going to get healed. That's it. That's it. That's God. I mean, you praise God for it. Thank you for it. Thank you. Pat.
Michael, I'll have you pray for me as well after this, but I would have been listening to people for the last few messages, and I think the last one I listened to was Matthew that brought this up, and this is got delivered from rejection. And so
that's a good one.
Well, it's a very subtle intertwining thing that I think permeates your soul from the very time that it even started. But I don't have time to go through a whole thing here, but I know that I had rejection from the time I was a very, you know, little kid, you know. And I think, and I don't want to speak something faithless or against what God can do, but I want to, I'm requesting prayer, I think the same as Debbie as well, because I think I'm starting to see that there are areas that I am not aware of. And there are, whether it's subtle memories or something that is functions in the background that I don't even, am not even aware of. And these, and so I'm wondering if it has something to do with the rejection that I experienced as a child and lived with and got used to living with and reacted to in my life and did certain things in my life in order to compensate internally. And, you know, I just believe that it is, that it goes deeper than what I had originally thought. So I guess I'm asking for prayer specifically for that, for something that I don't even see. Yet I suspect that it has there's a connection or there's some sort of interference happening there in my soul and my life that is being affected by that. Still. And so, and I can't say, I mean, even when you're talking about being bold and talking to people about prayer and this sort of thing, that sounds exciting, but I know that within me, there's something that drags me down in that area. I don't know how to put it. I don't know how to.
That sounds like spirit of rejection. Yeah.
It permeates
our society. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised that spirit of rejection permeates our society. It really does. I didn't even know what it was until I came here and I started finding that everybody had. And it's just, I don't know why, but most people have it.
And I think that the problem is that that spirit, like any other spirit, can be cast out. And, but if the internal changes haven't been addressed or been made, it can come back in whatever form. I'm not sure. I mean, that's personally what I believe in. And so I don't know if, again, all I know is I want to be cleansed completely of it. Everything, not only even the hidden stuff that I don't even see, because I know the Lord sees it. I know He knows what is in there, what is I'm dealing with, and I suspect many people are dealing with it. They're dealing with the consequences of it and may not understand what is the cause of it. And so anyway, okay. Stop right there and just ask for prayer.
Okay. I was trying to get David up here, Timothy, to get up here and pray for him, but I haven't been able to get a hold of him, looks like, because he went through that, and he is, him and Matt both are just free as a bird. Yeah, but I'll pray for you. All right. Everybody, I'm going to pray for everybody that needs it. And all you have to do is receive what we're going to pray for, and He will deliver you in the name that's above every name. The name of Jesus, I command this spirit of rejection to go out of this fellowship, all who receive it, in the right now, in Jesus' name. Everyone that wants rejection gone from them, receive it right now. It's gone right now. Be whole, be high, be healed, be free from rejection right now, in Jesus' mighty name. You go from this bunch right now, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for boldness that they've never experienced before, freedom like they've never experienced before. Right now, freedom in everybody that wants it, freedom in everybody that wants it. I break the curse of any kind of rejection or any kind of spirit that's holding them back from getting the word of God out, in Jesus' mighty name. And I praise you, Father, for putting trust in their heart, putting faith in their heart to believe your word. And what your word says. Glory to God. Go ahead, David.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, Father God. Lord, first step is confessing. And that's the hardest part when you got rejection. Lord, I thank you that you put on Pat's heart to bring it forward and reveal itself, Lord. And I break every bind, every tie to this rejection, every fear of rejection, and anything that associates with it, the memories of it. Father God, I ask that you break that tie, and there is no memory to this fear. There is no memory to this past where rejection even tried to come in, Lord God, that it is all cleansed away, and we cannot remember it, which means we go forward in a clean slate, and we do not look back, and rejection is not in our sight. Lord Jesus is in our sight, and that's where we are headed. And we thank you, Lord, that we can never look back at this again, for that is a dark path. And Lord, I thank you that you're cleansing everybody out of this rejection or fear of rejection in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody has clarity to understand it and discern it, and bind it immediately before it even tries to plant a thought, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it is gone as far as the east is from the west, Lord God. And you scattered it all. And it is not a part of our lives anymore, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we are free to think like Jesus, free to talk like Jesus, and free to heal people like Jesus, because we have no rejection. We have no fear of it. And we go bold attacking the enemy now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Glory to God. Be free, y'all. Be free in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That was a powerful prayer. Thank you, David. Lord, hallelujah. We praise you, Father, that everybody that received that is delivered from that spirit of rejection and fear of rejection. And we thank you, Father, for putting in their hearts the desire to take the gospel out to the people in Jesus' name in these latter days that we're in. Glory to God. And like David said, to be talking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, walking like Jesus. Glory to God out there in the world. In Jesus' name, take the light out there. Be that lamp in your neighborhood. Be that lamp. Glory to God. You'd be like a spotlight. I said, good gracious, who is that out there with that big light on? Glory to God. Well, that's old Pat McKnight. He's out there getting the gospel out. Glory to God. Amen. I believe it. I believe everything that David prayed is happening right now in everybody that received it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you that when they get out there, all the gifts are available to you. All of them are gifts available to you if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you really don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to heal, but it sure helps. I did. I was healing before I was baptized. Not near as good as I was after I got baptized, though, I can tell you that. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness, it's after 10. Man, it's going on like it was last night, ain't it, Debbie? We had a wonderful time last night. I wish all of you had been there. It was awesome. We had a wonderful time. Glory to God. Well, we had an awesome time tonight. Well, I did. I don't know if that's y'all. I guess you did. Praise God. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Can I mention something that Chuck mentioned last night?
Yeah.
He said, now a long time ago, one pastor told him, it's not about you, it's about Jesus.
That's right. Never forget that. Never forget that. It ain't nothing you can do. It's all Jesus in you that's doing it. And be humble when you go out there. But be bold. You can be bold and be humble too. All right, Father God, I just thank you for tonight. I praise you, Father, that we're going to see a bunch of folks here next week because they went out and they did the gospel. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters. And I praise you, Father, for putting love in their heart for your gospel and the people that they are going to affect in the days to come. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all.